I don't know about you, but this is always the hardest part of conference, right? We've had all that good spiritual food that we're digesting, but we're also digesting, you know, the good meal that we just had, that good roast beef. Spurgeon once said that if he could pass one law in England, that he would ban Yorkshire pudding and roast beef on Lord's Days. But so we'll try to stir ourselves up a little here. One of the main points, I should really say the theme of Titus, is good works. It's mentioned some 6 or 7 times, negatively in chapter 1 and verse 16. But then we get verse 6, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in the chapter 2. And then in verse 14, that he has redeemed us for himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. And then in chapter 3, verse 1, remind them to be subject to the rulers and authorities, to obey, sometimes something that Christians seem to have a hard time doing, to be ready for every good work. And then in the end of verse 8, Paul says that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These are things are good and profitable to men. There's the witness aspect, the testimony aspect. And then in verse 14, let our people or let our own also learn to maintain good works. And of course, our own, who are they? Who are they? That's all the believers, okay? I'll stress that. All the believers, all those who are redeemed by Jesus Christ, that is the Lord's purpose for them now that we have known the grace of God. So this is, I think, helps us to understand why Paul has these amazing statements of the grace of God in this epistle, okay? That the works are the result, or ought to be the result, flowing from our knowledge of God's grace. Someone has once said, the knowledge and acknowledgement of grace produces two things, worship and obedience. But the problem for us is, as humans, naturally, we, when we look at God, we view our relationship him always on a performance-related basis. That's natural to the human heart. That's why so many religions in the world are performance-based. Obey these sets of laws, obey these sets of rules, obey this religious regimen, and God will at some point, you know, look at you and say, yeah, you did pretty good, you're in, right? But Christianity is just the exact opposite. And so Paul seems to stress that here with the verses that we're looking at, but also chapter 3. Now look at chapter 3, verse 4. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, okay, that's a reiteration of what we saw in our last meeting. Notice verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. You see? Explanation point. Right? Make sure you understand this. That what I'm enjoining upon you is not in order for you to be saved or to come into the favor of God, but because you are saved, because he has brought you into his favor by his sovereign grace, unmerited favor, therefore show it in your life. That's what Paul's saying. That's what Paul's saying. But it's so easy, even Christians, we say, oh, you know, I'm not matching up. I'm not matching. Well, of course you're not, okay? Stop looking at yourself and start looking up at the Savior, okay? Yeah, if you sin, confess it, okay? Repent, move on. But the thing is, our relationship is based on grace. Grace, grace, grace. That's the relationship. And so what Paul is saying here, if you just back up to verse 9 and 10, I think we've looked at that a little bit. And then in verse, he mentions certain things, you know, not talking back to your employer, not pilfering, stealing, right? Can Christian do stuff like that? Yeah, apparently, because Paul told them not to, right? Worldly, rather, that they may, notice this, adorn the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Adorn. It's an adornment. It's interesting, you know, that word, in our English we translate it adornment, but in the original language that the New Testament is written in, it's the word is the word we get in English for cosmetics. Cosmetics, same word. It has to do with an arrangement, an ordering of things. You know, cosmeto, just like cosmos. We look out into the universe and we see how God has arranged the solar system. Everything works like clockwork. There's an arrangement. We look at it and say, wow. So that's where the word has come in. Cosmetics, to adorn. And, you know, you go to the drugstore, you have the cosmetic section, you know, so that you wake up in the morning, you know, you fix it, you look in the mirror, I'll fix myself up so I look better than I really am, you know. But I see lately that there's a man's section also now of cosmetics, so I'm not even going to go there. But it's an outward arrangement, a fixing up, a looking good, you know. Why? Because we're representing someone. We're representing the one who has saved us, that people would see in us, oh, I want that. I want that. I want that. That to know that God has forgiven me and has accepted me is not based on what I am, just the opposite, upon what he has done by his marvelous grace.